Chapter 19 Year 2 8th May, 2090 Our second year began with a smaller useful crew and perhaps reduced efficiency from those of us who are left. We've essentially lost Moonboy. Whenever he's not in VR, he's locked into earphones. He doesn't even take them off to eat. If you ask him a question, he hands you a notebook. Write down the query, and he'll write a short response, or nod, or shrug, usually. It started with noise coming from the air conditioning. At first it was a high-pitched whistle. We were able to program the self-repair algorithm and reduce it to bare audibility, but in the process introduced a varying frequency component. If you listen closely, it's like someone whistling tunelessly in another room. I can hardly hear it at all, but Moonboy said it was going to drive him mad, and apparently it did. We can still use him after a fashion to try to translate if one of the Martians says something incomprehensible, but it's hard to get his attention and impossible to make him concentrate. Elsa says he's apparently in a dissociative fugue. His medical history is dominated by dissociative amnesia, not being able to remember a murderous assault by his father when he was a boy. Medication isn't effective. A dose large enough to give him some peace knocks him out, and when he wakes up, the noise is still there, and he claps on the phones. Merrill is, of course, depressed with Moonboy such a wreck, but everyone else seems stable, if not happy. Elsa seems resigned to Paul's obstinate monogamy. I should thank him. Memo to the next people who staff a mission like this, make sure nobody in the crew is fucking crazy. Of course, we may all be in less dramatic ways. Other than the noisy life support system, the ship seems shipshape. In December, I spent a couple of weeks in advanced menu planning. We've been too conservative in using the luxury stores. We could use more than half of them on the way to Wolf. If we do survive the encounter with the others, we'll probably be content with anything on the way back. Morale's only a problem on the way there. I talked with Paul about this, but not with the others. The last thing I need in the kitchen is a democracy. I'm continuing my study of first contact narratives in human history, usually less destructive than the others' contact with us, though the ultimate result is often extinction, anyhow. There aren't really close analogies. Aboriginal societies didn't send off diplomats to plead peace with their high-tech conquerors. What would have happened if the Maori, on learning where their invaders came from, had taken a war canoe and paddled around the Cape and up the Atlantic and the Thames to parley with Queen Victoria? She's atypical, actually. Reports of Maori military performance led her to offer them at least symbolic equality in the governance of New Zealand. The others would probably just have nuked them all, with the wave of a hand. Of course, we don't really know anything about their psychology or philosophy, other than the fact that they observed us, judged us, and tried to execute us all with no discussion. When I was a boy, I watched my father spray a nest of wasps that had grown on the side of our house. You could see in their frantic paroxysms how painful an end that was, and my father laughed at me for crying. Maybe some few of the others will mourn our necessary extinction. In a way that I would hesitate to call mystical, life becomes more and more precious as we ply our way toward whatever awaits. And I mean that in the most prosaic sense. I wake up every morning, eager for the day, even though I do little other than cook and read and talk. A little music. Too little. I swim almost every day, trying to reserve the pool for the half hour after Carmen swims. I can legitimately show up a few minutes early and look at her. How do I really feel toward her? We talk about everything but that. If I were closer to her age, I might move toward romance, or at least sex. But I'm almost as old as her father. She brought that up early on, and I have no desire to appear foolish. Besides, I'm married to the only certified nymphomaniac within light years. Another woman might be too much of a good thing. But I do feel close to her, sometimes closer than I am to Elsa, who will never let me or anyone else into her mysterious center, a place I think she herself never visits. Carmen seems totally open, American to the core, even if her passport says Martian. I think my foreignness attracts her, but at some level frightens her as well. The opposite of Elsa, in a way. The fact that I've been a professional killer thrills Elsa, I think, though she would be less thrilled if she knew how many I've killed. And how? And why?